Good morning. I guess the music stopped. That's my cue, I guess. How's everybody doing? I wasn't with you guys last week. I try to give Mr. Smith the most intense passages I can find. He likes it that way. Yeah. So I trust you were blessed. I was in Colorado, my parents were here to watch the kids, and so I took some time away with my wife Jennifer, and we walked through some marriage things for deepening, and that was a very real blessing. And so we come back sort of full and close together and ready to, I don't know, defeat the world or be united with you guys or whatever God requires. But we are in Genesis, and we're sort of becoming a little crazy in that we're losing all our order. I did part of 17 and 18, and then Eddie did 19, and then I'm going to do the other part of 17 and 18 today, and then after that, we might jump to 20, and so we'll figure it out as we go here. But we're headed toward 22. That's the climax. 22 is the climax, where God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. That's where we're going. That's sort of where Abraham's life is going. But we're not there. We're in 17. So I never read all of 17. And so so we should read all of 17. But before we do that, we can pray. And if you want, you can turn to Genesis 17 while we do that. Well, Father, we know you have words because we know you're a teacher. And you say you scatter seed. The farmers scatter seed all the time, even in places where it won't grow. God, and in our world, seed is expensive. Why you'd sow it on the pavement, I'm not sure. But I thank you, God, that you always give us a chance for our hearts to be soft, for our hearts to be good soil. And Lord, I pray you prepare us and help us be good soil this morning. Father, we thank you, God, that you're a faithful farmer and a good shepherd. And we just entrust our lives to you again, and we thank you that you are with us this morning, that you can be with us together. And Jesus, that we can be with you, brother, God, worshiping our Father. So, Father, settle our hearts and help us hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old?" This is great faith right here. "Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessings." He really feels like he's done God a favor with this Ishmael thing. You'd think he'd learned by now, but he loves this kid. Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, this is obedience here. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abram's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. Okay. So God shows up. God shows up to Abram, and he gives this covenant. We've talked about the covenant and how it unfolds a little bit in this passage. But he changes him, doesn't he? He's walked Abram through these processes. He's walked him in these places where he goes, "Hey, I choose you." And then he says, "Abram, I bless you." And then he says, "Abram, I'm crediting righteousness to you through your faith." And he's changing Abram. Knowing God changes you. And so here, he changes something else. Changes the guy's name. He was Abram. Now, Abram means father, which has got to be just horrible. It's like being named Faith when you're an atheist. For so much of his life, in a culture that loved bearing children, he got to be named father because it was the values of the culture, but he didn't have any kids. That must have been sort of hard. You introduce yourself, I'm Father. Oh, where are your kids? I don't have any. Again and again. And you have to hear it, because you hear your name all the time. But then Ishmael came along. And though he wasn't really his, he was his father. And so he got to sort of be a father. Hey, my name is Father, and I got this kid. Kind of. But yeah. But then God shows up, and God says, no. Your name is Abraham. Well, Abram means father. Abraham means father of many. Well, now he's back in the same spot again. He's like, God, I went through this. I didn't like it before. I don't like it now. And I want you to imagine the name changing part. Because to change your name, you have to tell people your name has changed. There's no probably much legal documentation back then. Right? You just say, I want you to call me Father of Many. Hey, Abram, you're not the father of many. No, I am. God said I am, so I am. This is my name now. Well, Abram, I'm happy to call you father of many when you're a father of many. And he's like, no. You will call me Abraham. I am not answering to Abram anymore. God has said it. It's true. God has said it. This is what we're going to do. My name is Abraham. I'm signing everything. Abraham. And the people that know him, they're out in the fields going, that Abraham guy, he's going a little cuckoo. Abraham believes this. He believes God. He believes God that I am a father of many. I am chosen. I am blessed. I am righteous. I am a father of many. This is true. I don't care what you say. God says, and it's true because God said it. He just owns it. He owns it. Now, when I think of this, I go, well, I've been blessed, haven't you? God said, you're blessed. You're blessed. You know what God said? God has said, you're chosen in me. I've chosen. God has said in the gospel that we've accepted. God said in the gospel, you're righteous. Just like Abram. God said, you're righteous. God has given us new identities. Do you own them like Abraham owned them? Or do you still call yourself Abram? Will you sit up straight in your chair and say, no, I'm Abraham. This is what I mean. I'm gonna. You guys can sit back. I'm going to tell you partially, biblically, who you are. Who are you? God is telling Abram who he is. The Bible tells us. I'm going to tell you. If I were to title this message, I would entitle it, Who Are You? And I'll just do this for a little bit. These are all verses. I pulled them from verses. If you're interested in the references, I can email you later. But I didn't take time to put the references. Okay, Christian. I want you to think about this. You are planned. You were not an accident. You were planned. You are one with the Lord. Like this. One with Him. You are a workmanship of God. The word means masterpiece. Effort has been put into making you grand. That's who you are. You are a man or woman on your way to completion. Can you own that? I'm going there. You are adopted as a child into His family. His meaning, God's family. You are holy. You are spirit controlled. You are wonderful. You're wonderful. You are sheep in His fold. Right? Can you grab that? I'm in a fold where my shepherd is Jesus. That's the circle I belong in. You are a saint. You are a soldier. That's who you are. You are redeemed and bought for God's own possession. You belong in God's house. His possession. You are chosen. Feels good to be chosen. Not only chosen, but predestined. You are righteous. Just like Abram. It means right before God. You are ransomed. You are a new creation. You're something different than you were. You're blameless. You're noble. You're justified. This is the crazy bit for me. That means just as if I did everything right. Right, there's circles. We're going to organize out here. And there's circles drawn on the pavement. And we're going to have you self-select where you go. And there's a circle that says, I did everything right. You belong in that circle. Go stand in that circle. But that's your identity. The did everything right guy. Get to go stand over there. Can you even walk over there? Justified. Bible even says you're perfect. You are a friend of God. That's your label. You can tattoo it on your forehead. You're forgiven. Clean. Pure. You are free. You are set apart. You are God's house. You are God's temple. You are a holy priesthood, or we are together. You, my dear Christian, are an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. You are a companion of Jesus. You are empowered with mighty strength. You are dearly loved. You are equipped. You're equipped. You have enough. You're equipped for everything you need. You're equipped for everything you need for all of life. You're equipped for everything you need for all godliness. You are elect. You are a child of light. That means you are not a child of darkness. You are a child of light. You have been born again. You are a child of your daddy. It sort of says that you're a child of somebody tender and loving towards you. You're a child of God. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, a grown man, speaking to other grown men, said, "My little children." Wow. The disciples understood that. And they took that tenderness. And they took that identity. You are a citizen of heaven. Right alongside Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven. And that means you're a stranger here. And you're an alien here. You are blessed. And you just let that sigh. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But it's more. With every blessing, every spiritual blessing that there is, since you're blessed with. Well, I could really relax in being blessed, and you say every spiritual blessing, and I go, I don't even know if I understand. You are atoned for. God's anger is atoned. God will never be angry with you again. See, Abraham said, I am the father of many. I don't care what you see. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what you tell me. I am a father of many. In fact, I'm a father of nations. In fact, all the land you see here is given to me. I have been chosen. I have been blessed. And it sounds so arrogant that it is so true. And what God wanted Abraham to do is take it and to grab it and say, it is who I am. I am Abraham. How about you? Can you grab it? Can you sit up in your chair and say, I'm an heir? Can you just sit up in your chair and say, I am one with a holy God, and I am empowered for life? And the things that come in the crazy way, I go, I have the power, united with him, to engage and to overcome. Can you let those things have an effect on you as you sit, as you encounter life, as you think about them, as you sit in your chair? Because it did for Abram. He became Abraham. And I know he walked into this because he walked into circumcision. That was what God wanted him to do. Based on this covenant, based on your new identity, I want you to do this. And what he did was circumcised on the same day. He acts out of obedience. This is a sign of the covenant. It always cracks me up when they say that. God goes, a sign of the covenant. And I go, can you use a different word? It's not a sign. When I think of a sign, I think of a highway sign. I think of a billboard. I think of a picket sign. Does anybody see that you're circumcised? No. No. It's not a sign in any understanding of what I have for a sign. Who is the sign of circumcision for? It's for Abraham. And he looks at himself and he goes, I'm different. He looks at himself and goes, I've been called and blessed and set apart. He looks at himself and be like, I have a covenant with God, and this is who I am, down in the in private places, in the depths of me. This is true. This is who I am. And when he looks around at his men, they together can go, This is us. We are part of this covenant. We are different. God has changed us together. And you're a part of this. Did you know that we have a sign of our newness? Did you know that? A sign that says, I'm new. The old is gone. The new has come. That's a verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All the stuff that is of your flesh, that is of the old you, that is of this earth, that's all gone. There's something new in you. You are new in the depths of who you are. And that is baptism. We're not circumcised in the New Testament physically. We are baptized. That is the sign that God has come to you. It is the sign that you are in covenant with God. It is the sign, I have accepted the gospel and this is true of me. I'm forgiven. I'm pure. I'm different. And when they talk about baptism, they say, it is the public expression of your faith. It's public for everybody to see. It's the sign. And I laugh again. I go, when Paul, when you took the Philippian jailer and you went out in the middle of the night and baptized him, who is that a sign to? Like, how many of your coworkers and how many of your friends were there when you were baptized? And for a lot of us, I was baptized so long ago that my friends, my coworkers, they're all changed. They're all different. My baptism is not necessarily a sign to everybody that I interact with now. Who is my baptism a sign for? Me. I'm new. I'm different. I've grabbed this. I've walked over this line. I acted out the confirming of the covenant. I am pure. I'm clean. I'm washed. I'm blameless. I'm a child. I'm different. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to walk in those realities, and that is my baptism. Have you been baptized? I trust most of us, I know actually, most of us in here have been. Then you have said, this is who I am. This is who I am. And the Holy Spirit has come into your life to make it so. You have said, this is who I am. Now, Abraham very shortly after this, walks into a specific identity, and I want to walk through it. And so we're going to have to read it first. In chapter 18, verse 60. This is the second half of this. So in 18, you know, after he confirms the covenant, God shows up, and God and his two angels have they eat with Abraham, and they're sort of like friends now, and then they say, hey, you're going to have a kid next year, and Sarah laughs, and so now Sarah and Abram have laughed. And so that's sort of where we stop, and we'll pick up in verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. So the angels went toward Sodom, and God is standing and talking to Abraham. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answers, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left. And Abraham returned home. Okay. Walk through this. He goes, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham, what's happening here is Abraham is acting like a priest to the nations. It says it right in the passage. God says, through him, all the nations will be blessed. And so in this passage, he starts playing intercessor. And God's plan and purpose for Abraham is played out here. See, God's willing to use Abraham so much, he doesn't even work out his plan without telling him. And it all reinforces that God is working through Abraham. God saved Lot because of Abraham. Right? Lot received all these blessings because he was just close to Abraham. Because Abraham's the one that was blessed. Because Abraham the one that was priest. He was like, wow, I'm really glad you're my relative. Because he got saved twice by Abraham. Look how God is using Abraham in God's plan to bless the world. Now, He says, this is the one I've chosen, and I'm going to tell him. And there's two reasons he tells him. Two reasons. One hand, because God is going to bless the world through him. And the other hand, because Abram is going to teach his household righteousness and justice. Those are the two reasons God gives. He's going to bless the world, and he's going to teach his household righteousness and justice. So he wants to teach Abraham what justice is all about. He wants to teach Abraham righteousness. Now, if you have kids, that's really interesting. I have kids, and I thought, God's going to teach me stuff for my kids. Or I could say it like this. What God has taught you, he wants you to give to your kids. They're not just supposed to grow up and live and learn about God on their way. You're supposed to teach them. You're supposed to pass it on. That is what God wanted Abraham to do, and is the reason he told him, I'm going to tell him so I can teach you about justice and righteousness, and so you can tell your kids. I just thought that was interesting. So God's plan here involves the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he tells them, hey, the wickedness is exceedingly great. And I'm assuming last week you realized that Sodom and Gomorrah, it's not really a Sunday school story. It's pretty wicked. And it's also really interesting. God knows what he's going to do. And God knows they're wicked, but he's going to go down. I need to go see it. Check it out. And you get into this section in verse 22, where 22 and down, where we have this interceding. Now, this interceding, I just go, it has to be about Lot, right? This is about Lot. But Abraham never mentions Lot. He pleads for the whole city. He pleads for all the righteous people, not just his interest. And God teaches Abraham about his grace and his righteousness. And I think we can learn things from this pleading. One, he's very bold. Especially at the beginning, he is very bold. You know, you can be bold like that in prayer. If you're a priest, which we are, if you're chosen, if you're God's son or daughter, you can be bold. God wants you to. You know what else I see? Humility. You see that? And God goes, oh, just one more time. Abraham is very ready to bow his knee to the will of God. I think of Moses was very bold. Daniel was very bold. Abraham was very bold. There's also humility. And Abraham walks into his identity as a priest, as someone who blesses. You know, aspects, there are aspects of this that are true for us. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Hey, you're a priest. God says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So are you a priest? Are you a priest? If you're a priest, if you said you're a priest, if you grab it, you will intercede for people. Just like Abraham here. You will intercede with your God. You will be a blessing. Now, just a side thought here. It's not really side. I just want to marvel at God here. Sodom and Gomorrah is really, really, really wicked. There are 10 righteous people in that city. It will be spared. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me. The whole filthy city. The whole city involved with perverse wickedness. And God spared them on account of 10 righteous people. See, God is righteous. God is just, which means God will do what is right. He spares righteous Lot. It's God's justice. You know what it says in Peter? I love this. God knows how to judge the wicked and spare the righteous. He knows how to do that. I don't know what you think about America, but if you go, oh, America's going to be judged, it's going to be awful, lots of crazy things are going to happen, we're going to be under the judgment of God because of all this stuff that has happened in America, you know what? God knows how to judge the wicked and spare the righteous. He won't judge the righteous. In a Sodom and Gomorrah sense of judge, he won't. And so Abraham was to pass this understanding of God, to pass this identity of being a priest onto his kids and into the nation of Israel, that they would be pleading on behalf of others in the nations, and they did not. And I just ask us, are we pleading on behalf of others? It is who we are. It is who we are. And will we walk in it? Will we grab it and walk in it? And that's sort of my challenge from these chapters. We grab who we are, and then will we walk in it? So let's pray. God, so many things to be said, so many things that are really incomplete. But I thank you for Abraham's faith, and of all the men that go up and down, in the next chapter he goes down again, he does have real faith. And he believed who you said he was. And he walked in it, even in front of other people. May you grant us that same strength about what you have said. And help us walk into those identities. God, God, I want to feel what I should feel when you say I'm empowered and equipped. God, I want to feel what being clean and free and pure. I want to feel that because I believe it. God, I want to feel as a priest that I come to bless people around me, to bless people in prayer, make sacrifices for my God. And I thank you. And I thank you that we just get to be with you in what you're doing. Thank you for the kingdom you're making. And I just pray you'd lead us on. Help us get all this. You say the work of the Lord is believe. God, grant us faith. And God, help us know we've got just a little faith. God could change our lives radically. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a couple